All right. Last week's offering was $863. Our September total was $4,856. And here's how we donate. Here's what we've done with our disbursements. Maria, I'll talk to you about the thing you recommended. We had a hard time. We didn't know if we were given to a church or we were given directly to the Israel people. So, I know. So we'll work that out. But let me tell you what happened. We've already given $1,000 to Andrew Womack. I don't know if I have to tell you this, but me and Teresa support him also through our own money. And so as long as this crisis is going on, and this crisis is going to go on for a while, as long as this crisis is going on in Israel, we'll just limit the church to the $1,000 and we'll keep doing what we're doing because I still believe in everything he's doing. Karenette, we gave $1,000 to. I don't think Donnie and Becky know this. Anyway, they're going to give us an award this Friday for, did y'all know about that? And Bryant, Leslie and me is going to represent the church. Teresa has to go up to she takes the kids every year to the volleyball in Tucson and pays for it out of her own pocket. And she's been doing it for 23 years, and I think she needs a round of applause. And that's one of the reasons that they put my name in big letters at the Veritas Golf Tournament. One of the reasons. And then we gave YouVersion Bible 500. So the week before, we had given the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews $1,000. They contacted us and let us know that they now have boots on the ground and they're providing supplies, food, shelter, all that kind of stuff. So I just went ahead this time because it was just so easy and gave an extra $1,000 to them. So we're going to keep doing that as long as this thing's going on. Because the Bible very clearly teaches you got to be a friend of Israel. Somebody's got to be a friend of them because the devil's been trying to kill them throughout all of their history. And he's after Christians too. You know that, right? Don't worry about it. He's after Christians too. All right, is there anything else that I want the Life in Christ Facebook page? All right, I did obey the Lord. I really believe this. And I got off Facebook. And I want to tell you that it eliminated me looking at my phone about 15 times a day. It literally eliminated it because I wasn't looking to see if somebody was liking what I posted or somebody was telling me stuff. And so it eliminated that. So our messages will now be posted every Sunday by Teresa as the administrator to this Life in Christ Church ministry page. That's where you'll find all the sermons. You see this word 55 followers? Is that any of us in the building here? Okay, if you are a regular member here, click on this and become a follower. Bryant, what we can't get, and we think it has something to do with me leaving Facebook, we can't identify who our 55 followers are, and I'd like to be able to do that. I don't think that's wrong. Now, when you click on the 31 likes, the only people that come up are people that are friends with Teresa on her Facebook page. So that's your homework. Is there any way to be able to find those 55 followers? Yeah, you got home. Yeah. All right. So then I got another thing. Is there anybody that's been at church long enough, and I know some of you have, that remember Alice Ridenour? She passed away. She's had dementia for several years, and she passed away in California. They called me and asked me to write a little thing for the funeral, and they were very touched by that. So anyway, they sent a $100 donation. Alice Ridenour was given $20 to the church every week, and she lived to be 90, I think. Anyway, I felt like we should tell you all that. Now, and I'm almost done because I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about, as usual. This Twitter thing has become the most fascinating thing that I've gotten involved in. So now you're going to find our messages on the Life in Christ Ministry page, Facebook page. It'll be on that page, and everybody has access to it. So I'm posting everything else on Twitter, okay? We're trying to get everybody acclimated to this. We've got 55 followers. That's not bad. Amen? And then this Twitter thing, last week I posted the sermon about Israel. It got 25 hits. Okay? And can somebody go on Twitter? Because I think this is fascinating, and we don't really know what it means. He's going to do it. Okay, you on my? Can you go to my Twitter page? All right, click on the last post about Israel. Click on it. Look at it. The Bible Lesson Day focused on the horrific events in Israel. You can download the message at lifeinchristchurch.net/sermons. Click on it and view it. Click on it and view it. Thank you, Maria. So 25 people have clicked on it, and now it'll change to 26. I'm only bringing this up because, yeah, just it went from 25 to 26. So for it to go to 26, Maria, it means that somebody had to click on the page. And when you click on the page, what do they get?
Click on it. It goes right to the page with all the sermons on it.
That is cool. That is cool. So I want to tell you, as you go through here and go down the line, the one that we did about, amazing, me and Jordan at the ball game, 64 people love that. You go down here to the one about the assigning of evil to God was birthed in the mind of Satan. 99 people have clicked on that. Now, me and Brian were playing around with it, and about six of those are ours. Yeah, but so subtract six from 99, and you still got 93. So this is how you can get to our sermon material. First of all, you can go to the Life in Christ ministry page, which you'll have it posted every week now by Teresa. You can go directly to our website, lifeinchristchurch.net, or you can go to Twitter and get it from that direction. And then the immortal words of Forrest Gump, that's all I got to say about that. Amen. All right, so Facebook's over for me. Hallelujah, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty I'm free at last. I don't know. You know, I'm telling you, I try to admit my flaws. I mean, to think that 93 people have clicked on that, Frank, makes me feel all bubbly. Let's get into our Bible lesson. It's going to be another good one. We're going to finish up today the five problems or the solutions to the five problems that are common to man. We're going to do a little review, and I can already tell you the Lord's already given me the next series, and I'm really excited about what I want to do next. So this will be the end of this one. We put a lot of effort and energy into this one. Let's just do a little quick review. What are the biblical solutions to the five problems that are common to man? What's the first one? I'm just going to shorten everything up. Here's God's way to have money. Work and give. Now, does that mean you can't retire? No, because you probably work to get your retirement, right? But generally speaking, if you want to have money God's way, you need to work and you need to give some of your money away. There's just no doubt about it. The Bible clearly teaches that as a man sows, that he will also reap. And so that's the biblical answer. If you don't like it, then you don't respect the Bible. Number two, going quick, I'm just doing these quickly for this part of it. Other thing that's common to man is fear. And I think this will tie into the one we're talking about today, death. Everybody has to deal with fear. James Taylor discovered last night that I am a scaredy. There's something that's happened to me at 64 years of age. I hate to make a bad confession, but at night I don't have death perception driving. So I think he's going to run into every single car. I let him drive back at night, and I thought he was running into every single car. And I'd say, stop, my God, stop. And he'd say, relax. And Jordan would say, relax. Well, it'd be, you know, when you get 64, you talk to me about it. Anyway, and then, of course, I've always used my famous airplane thing, and I'm telling you before God, I'm just about totally over that. I actually like to look out the airplane now and look at all the beauty of God, and, you know, every now and then the turbulence will hit, and I'll go, oh, God. But most of the time, I'm fine as frog hair on an airplane. But every one of us has something you're afraid of, even you, Frank. Don't lie. And so the way you overcome fear is through understanding how much God loves you. I'm doing brief. Because really, if you understood how much God loved you, you wouldn't be afraid of anything. Because Jesus said you shouldn't fear anybody that all they can do is kill you. Jesus said that. He said, don't fear anybody, all he can do is kill you. You want to fear the dude that after you die, you're going to have to face judgment. That's the one you want to, and in that respect, it's not necessarily fear, it's more respect of God. You follow me? All right. Number three, I'm going to test y'all on this, relationships. And I've got a new story for me. I have an actual victory story for me on that. But remember, and when we dealt with relationships, we said, what do married people have to be in agreement in? What are the three things that married people have to be in agreement in? One at a time. Somebody want to raise their hand. Maria, the first one?
Money.
You got to be in agreement on money. I'm telling you, you want to have a bad household. You know, it's not right if I go spend all the money on Teresa what I did with it. You know, I'm going to spend all the money, but at least I'll tell her what I did with it. Everybody with me? Follow me? What's the second thing you got to be in agreement with? See, now Brian's being the polite Christian guy this morning. I understand. Intimacy. Thank you for helping me on that. See, I need help. You got to be a little agreement on intimacy, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with a husband and wife being intimate. And the Bible actually says that your body belongs to your spouse and their body belongs to you. And there's again, all these things you could talk 2 years on, but I hit the high spots. Y'all know how I hit the high spots? What's the fourth thing we dealt with? What was the third thing you got to be in agreement with?
Household.
You know, James got more out of that from me. He had to come over and do a few Bible lessons at the home house when we had some weeks off. And he was very impressed by the fact that I was preparing supper before Teresa got home. He just thought, man, you are really who you say you are. My point is, if she's working 40 hours a week, okay, and outside of tax season, I have a lot of flexibility in my schedule. Would it be right for me to expect her to come home after working 40 hours? And she's got a power job. She's got to be in charge of people. Worst job in the world. Amen. There's nothing worse. Would it be right for me to say, honey, get that frying pan out and make me some potatoes? Would that be right? Would it be proper if I had something going? And if I saw the laundry basket was, you know, running overflow? The only complaint I got about that, I wish you'd buy a bigger laundry basket. Darn. But is it perfectly proper for me to go and put, how hard is it to put clothes in a wash machine and then put them in the dryer? Now, because of household responsibilities, we found out that she folds clothes better, so she does all the folding. So really, she does the hard part. But we don't want her to know that, do we, Jordan? And he washes all of his clothes. He only does it one time a month, though, so it's a big bag. All right. But does that make sense to everybody? I'm telling you, I don't care if you're a born-again Christian. I don't care if you're a tongue-talking, spirit-filled Christian. If one spouse is doing way more than the other spouse, you're going to have friction. The other thing we talked about in relationships was how a soft answer turns away wrath. So I'm going to tell you this story. I got to get, see how I got so much stuff to do. I'm on the golf course last week. And anyway, long story short, I hit a ball in a place where they call it ground under repair. And what that means is you can take the ball and move it to a good place to hit the ball. Unfortunately, I was in this place called ground under repair, and the ground under repair sign was, I didn't see it. It was facing the other way. So I went over and hit that ball, and one of my playing partners said, you didn't have to hit that ball. That's ground under repair. And I said, well, do I get to do it over then? And the other guys playing with said, absolutely not. You've already hit the shot. And I said, very kind of mean, you know, Jordan, I can't lie. I said kind of sarcastically, you know, it would have been nice if somebody said that to me before I hit the shot, because I duffed the shot. And so as I walk up to the green, I think I may have made one more remark on it. And this guy that I'm playing with started cussing me out with some of the most vile cuss words known to man. I'm like, dude, who are you? What are you? But that morning, now you're going to be proud of this. That morning I had read in Matthew's gospel that you're to treat others as the way you'd want to be treated. And so we went over to the next tee box to hit our shots. And we hit our shots, and me and him were pulling our pool carts. And I said, you know what, I want to apologize to you. if you took that wrong. I said I just really wanted to see if I could get relief from hitting the shot, and I really do want to apologize to you. I said I read in the scriptures this morning that I wouldn't want to be treated that way, and so I'm going to ask you for your forgiveness. And he said, I don't know what that verse means. I said, I don't expect you to. You're a heathen. No, I didn't say that. Almost blew it. No, I didn't say that. He said, I don't really know what that verse means. I said, bottom line is, I'm not going to hold a grudge about it. Let's go on. And do you know that the D-backs were playing the 2 o'clock game? What day was the 2 o'clock game? Jordan wasn't home. It was just me on pins and needles. And it got to the ninth inning. And most people don't understand that we record the game so Jordan can watch it. It got to the ninth inning, and the gentleman that chewed me out and cussed me out sent me a text and said, congratulations, you get to go to the ball game on Saturday. Because we weren't going to get to go on Saturday if it ended in 4 games. Everybody tracking? Now, you know what? He wouldn't have never sent me that text if I didn't turn a strife thing into forgiveness thing. Amen? Amen. So anyway, that's the sum total of what we're talking about in relationships. Be nice to your spouse. And be nice to everybody else. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. What's the fourth thing you got to do? Health. I think we did part 5 of health, James, wasn't it part 5? I think I did one of my best jobs talking about that. And we got on one of those health downloads, we got 90 likes. So today we're going to talk about the fifth thing, death. So let's just start with the verse in Hebrews. And I'm going to finish this up, and next week I've got something really fun I want to share with you called 5 of the Greatest Revelations God Has Given Me as a Christian. We're going to talk about that. But Hebrews 9:27 says this, as it is appointed for men to die, how many times? Once. You're not going to come back as a cow or a butterfly. There's no such thing as reincarnation. You're going to die one time, and everybody has to die physically unless Jesus comes back. And if you see Israel getting invaded from the north and surrounded on all sides, we might be the generation that doesn't die again. Amen. Very possible, very possible. But unless we're part of that generation, everybody has to die. And notice it says, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So there's a couple of directions I want to go here. I don't remember if it was a Jehovah's Witness that came to my door. I know one time a Jehovah's Witness came to my door, and at the end of it, I had the lady in tears. And she went from being sweet and kind to where she was literally, she said a cuss word to me. I got her to cuss because I told her, I said, you're 80 years old. And I said, you're out here talking about this nonsense. I said, as soon as you knocked on my door and I told you that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior, that should be the end of anything. See, but Jesus Christ is not really the king of that theology. It's always something else. Anyway, I don't remember if they just dropped off some literature at my office, because they'll do that on you too. They'll just put it on the desk, walk in, put it on your desk. In reading the literature, one of their beliefs is in soul sleep. Does anybody know what soul sleep means? That means that when you die, you just go in the ground. You don't know anything about what's going on until later. Okay? So I'm going to debunk that real quick and show you some things about God. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay? So let's look at these verses, Jamie, and they should be in order. And this is one of the great stories in the Gospels. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. I love just reading the Bible verses. Oh, when I went off Facebook, the lady that used to come here regular, I won't say her name, but she sent me a text and she said, I will go and follow you on the Life in Christ ministry page because I love how you make the Bible. You talk about the Bible, but you bring it up to what we're living in now. She said, I love how you do that. And she said, I also love the fact that you hate Joe Biden. And I said, well, you know, we have common ground. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, and maybe hates is too strong a word. Maybe it's not a strong enough word. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the wrath sun go down on your wrath. But anyway, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, now listen to this, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. What's that tell you about Jesus' fitness? What's that tell you about Jesus' fitness? Absolutely strong as an ox. Amen. Never overate. And again, you know I'm not judging anybody that overeats. I'm back on chocolate nuggets. I got off Häagen-Dazs ice cream, and then all of a sudden, I was in the lane at Fry's, and I saw those chocolate nuggets, and I said, you know, I've give up ice cream. Bless God, I can't give up chocolate. So you know I'm not judging, but the Bible says, remember one time when the woman at the well of Samaria, when he ministered to her, they'd gone off to buy food. They'd gone off to buy food. Think about that. See, everything in Jesus' life wasn't supernatural. They had to go to Fry's or Safeway and get food. And they got back. They were amazed that he was talking to a woman, first of all. But then they told him, they said, you know, eat something. Eat something. And he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. The food I have to eat is to do the will of my Father. Okay? Me and James were talking on the way to the ball game. Perhaps the greatest tragedy of being in your 60s is that, full disclosure, you're no longer allowed to eat anything if you don't want to put any weight on. You just can't eat nothing. I mean, you walk by the Hawaiian bun and it's just there. It sticks on you. Jordan comes in, eats two Mod pizzas, washes it down with four Gatorades, and I'm like, oh my, I remember when I could do that. Amen. Anyway, that's not part of the story, but so was he physically fit? Well, yeah. He didn't know, you know, his body was perfect. He's perfect. There's nothing about Jesus that isn't perfect. Can I get an amen? All right, verse 2. And he was transfigured before them. Oh, what a great story this was. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. What did we learn last week? What seems to be the dress code in heaven? White. You girls that think you look fat and white, you'll have to get over it. Can I get an amen? And his clothes became as white as light. Verse 3. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Now, if you read Deuteronomy, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, you will find out that Moses was buried by God. And if you read the first chapter of Joshua, you'll find out that he tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But guess what? He didn't die spiritually. He didn't go into soul sleep. He went into the upper region of Sheol at this time. And I won't get into that theologically. But Moses is living. How do we know he's living? He appeared to Jesus and talked with him. Now, Elijah's another cat, another kind of different deal. He didn't die. He was taken up in a whirlwind in a chariot and didn't die. Why he didn't die is beyond my pay grade. But I'm guarantee you, we're going to find out later. There are some people that claim that Enoch, remember Enoch? Bible says that God took him in Genesis for grace, before Jesus ever did anything to save us. But Bible says he took Enoch, he didn't die, and Elijah didn't die. And a lot of theologians think they're the two guys that are going to get shot on national TV in the book of Revelation, because it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, other theologians think it's going to be Moses and Elijah, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't have the dots connected well enough to make a theological proclamation on it. But the main thing I want you to get out of here is, Moses dead? Is he in the ground? Is he under soul sleep? The answer is no. No, he's alive. He's talking with Jesus. Amen. Next verse. Now, they're getting ready to try to trap Jesus right before he goes to the cross. The religious leaders of the day are always trying to find fault with anything you say. Everybody wants to try to find something, some fault in any God-called Bible teacher. They always want to call some fault and things like that, looking for something to get you. So they asked him, they said, you know, they talked about this woman that was married and had seven husbands and blah, blah, blah. And so here's what he tells them. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, this is Jesus speaking, have you not read what was spoken to you by God saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Say that with me. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Is Abraham alive? Is Isaac alive? Is Jacob alive? I think I told Teresa after I got this pamphlet and read it, I said, if you're going to have a false doctrine, I said, at least make it hard to debunk. But I said, all these verses came to my mind immediately. There's no such thing as soul sleep. No such thing. And the good news for Christians, and I'm going to get to that, but I just want to finish this thought. Next verse, what about this one? Oh, this is one of my favorites in all the Bible. They get on Jesus because he's basically telling them, I'm God in the flesh, and if you don't believe in me, you're going to perish. And they said, you know, you're only 30 years old. He was talking about how he knew all this stuff about Abraham and all these things. And he says, you're just 30 years old. How can that be? He says, your father, Abraham, the Jewish people's father. Amen. James taught me something fascinating last night. I learned so much going up to that ball game. James is a smart cat. Did you know that? I did not know that the theology or the concept of the Palestinian people, because Abraham is the central figure in both Judaism and Islam. And the Islamic people, they teach that Ishmael is the chosen one because he was the firstborn. And then they use as an illustration that when Hagar was out in the desert and about to die, God sent an angel to give her water. Now, really, anybody that knows anything about Scripture knows that God's compassionate. He wasn't going to let Abraham's one-night fling die. Huh? There's even grace and mercy if you've had a one-night fling. Now, if you get into two nights, you might have something really wrong with you. All right. Anyway, so they claim that they have a legitimate right. Where he brought the water, is that Mecca? That's Mecca. I didn't know any of that. And so then they think it was then passed down from Abraham, Ishmael, and Esau. Anybody know anything about Esau? Oh, scoundrel. Scoundrel. Sold his birthright because he was hungry. Amen. So anyway, it's counterfeit. Anybody's got any knowledge knows it's counterfeit. God chose Isaac because Isaac came from the promise. Isaac came from Sarah, the legitimate wife of Abraham, and he was an heir of the inheritance because of the promise God made through Isaac. Amen. Just, you know, and again, if Abraham hadn't gone into that tent with Hagar, if at one time he'd have told his wife, no, I'm not going to do that. I know that's what you want me to do, but I'm not going to do that. But he went in there, and that's why we have this thing, and it'll always go on till Jesus comes back, always. Never going to end. And any of these politicians that think that they're going to be the ones that's going to make peace in Israel, and anybody that thinks that Iran is not going to, if they get the ability to shoot off a nuclear bomb, that they're not going to shoot it off, you're living in a cave somewhere. Are you with me? Everybody cool? Everybody understand? Now, again, do we need to be afraid? No, all they can do is kill the body. And I'm going to get to our good verses here in a minute, but I guess I'll get ahead of myself. Paul said to depart and be with Christ is far better. Amen. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Where did he see it? Up in heaven, up in the upper region of show at that time. I won't go into detail about that. That's where people went before Jesus opened up heaven for everybody. So was Abraham dead? No, he's alive. Did he see Jesus ministering on the earth? Was he happy about it? Don't you know he was happy? Don't you know he was a happy man? Oh, man, he's come. The Messiah's come. Oh, those guys knew Jesus was coming. They knew he was coming. And they were rascals. A lot of them did some terrible things. But if people haven't figured out by now that all of us do some terrible things, and if we don't have the grace of God, we're all in for it. But I've been saved by grace through faith. Have you?
Yep. Amen.
And God's grace is sufficient for me. Is it for you?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. I'm going to give you the next verse because you just can't read this and not read verse 57. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old? You are not yet 50 years old?" Oh, this, there's no book in the world that'll tell you that can talk about this. We're talking about God in the flesh. We're talking about God coming to the earth to save humanity. No other religion can touch it. No other religion can claim it. Every other religion requires you to do something. Christianity only requires you to believe in what Jesus did for you. Praise God forevermore. They're not going to keep us quiet. You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Without beginning of days or ending of life, the great high priest Melchizedek," hallelujah, "the second person of the Godhead, the creator of all things. Nothing was made that was made that wasn't made through him." Can you imagine him walking the earth knowing he made everything? He's walking around. Amen. Praise God. I played the golf at Fort Huachuca in a tournament, and I hadn't been on Fort Huachuca in a while. Man, they got some beautiful mountains over there. Beautiful. There's some beautiful mountain area over there. God made that. I'm out for a walk in the morning in Sierra Vista over in the Hereford region, wherever all that is, Mosin Road, Hereford, Carrs Canyon. Those mountains are beautiful. God made that. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. So say that with me. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, the history of that. See, remember when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush? The burning bush. Our God is a consuming fire, Hebrews. He appears to Moses in the burning bush. And he tells Moses, "Hey, you're going to get my people out of Egypt." And he says, "Man, who do I say sent me? Who do I say sent me?" He says, "You tell him I am sent you. I am sent you." You know what Jesus is saying here? That was me in that burning bush. Praise God forevermore. That was me in that burning bush. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that you didn't leave us in our hopeless, helpless condition, but you loved us so much that you came and set us free from the law of sin and death. Can I get an amen? What's the next verse there, Jamin? Praise God. Let's talk about this. These are all Old Testament people. Have we discovered that Moses is alive? Do we know that Elijah is alive? Do we know that Abraham is alive? Do we know that Isaac is alive? Do we know that Jacob is alive? Were they all people under the old covenant? Are we under a better covenant? Is the New Testament better than the Old Testament? So the Apostle Paul, a writer of 13 books in the New Testament, a writer of the contract between God and man through the epistles, says this amazing statement: "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Think about that. That'll take away the fear of death. It will. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. The older you get, you know, my kids, Anna and them, they think, I tell her, "You gotta put money in your Roth IRA." She said, "Daddy, I'm just 23. I said, "Honey, you're gonna wake up in about 2 weeks and you're gonna be 47. Write that down, and then 2 weeks later, you're going to be 64. And then about 3 weeks later, you're going to be the same age as Frank McGeegan over there." And we're same age anyway. Anyway, am I right about that? But listen to what he says. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now watch this, watch this. Verse 22. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, listen, this is why I'd get thrown out of church. Guarantee you, they'll throw me out of church. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Wait a minute. He's the one choosing? I thought God was what caused everybody to die. Let me say something free of charge. I don't have any doubt in my mind that hardly any human being alive has lived out the fullness of the days that God intended for them. Amen. I think we have a wonderful illustration in our congregation right here, Jerry Federico. She's living out her days the way God intended for her to live them out. But I'm telling you, when you hear about like 40, 50-year-old men and 60-year-old people dying and they say God took them, that's a lie. God don't take them. Amen. Everybody cool with that? And again, you say these things to people and it's like it just blows brain circuits. Like, you mean to tell me that Johnny didn't die because God needed more angels in heaven? No, he's got all the angels he'll ever want. He don't want another one. One of them caused him all kinds of trouble. One of them caused him all kinds of trouble. That old snake, he was Lucifer then, and he was created to praise and worship God, and he caught himself in a mirror, and he said, man, I'm pretty. I'm awful pretty. And then he saw God make creation, and he saw God make creation, and he said, I'm going to give this all over to man and let them have dominion over it. All these wrong things. He got jealous. He got angry. He said, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want dominion. He knew he could never be like God, but he knew that if he could get Adam's dominion, he could become a God. He could become a small g God. And he talked that man and woman out of their dominion. Can I get an amen? Well, that's a sad commentary. But he's defeated. Jesus defeated him. The church don't know he's defeated, but he is defeated. And the only thing he can do is try to tell your mind lies, falsehoods. But we have to cast down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into obedience to Christ. Amen. Amen. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. What I shall choose. Full disclosure, I'm not sure that I could say that. The reason he could say that is he had sold his life out completely to God. He was under the control of God. He only did what God told him to do. If you don't believe that, how many of you would survive 39 lashes 5 times from the Jews? How many of us would survive that? I'd start asking for mercy on the first crack. Never mind. How many of you could survive being tied up, what they did to you in the day? They would tie you up where your legs were above the ground and they would take a rod and beat your calves until your legs were jelly. They did that to him. Amen. And then people said, well, you know, Paul had bad eyesight. No. Paul got stoned and hit in the eye. Took him a while to get his eyesight back. I learned all this stuff. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. Here it is right here. Verse 23. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, everybody, which is far better. Say it with me. Which is far better. Which is far better. He doesn't say, I'm hard pressed. I don't know if I want to go ahead and die and lay in the ground for about 2,000 years till Jesus comes back. Soul sleep. Come on, make it hard anyway if you're going to come up with something weird. And you know what that proves? That proves those people don't read the Bible. Don't ever fall for anybody that tries to get you into another book besides the Bible. Don't ever fall for that. Don't ever fall for it. That book is God-breathed. That book is God-inspired. Anybody that tries to... I remember that lady that knocked on my door. The Jehovah's Witness thing. I remember she knocked on my door. I said, do you believe in Jesus? She said, oh, yeah, I believe in him. Well, I said, then what else is there? Oh, she said, there's a lot of other stuff. I said, honey, there's no other stuff. The buck stops with Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And some of these people, that some of this other, I won't name the names because I'm already, nobody likes me now. But these other, there's another group that's got another book that they supplement with the Bible. And they tell you that Jesus and the devil were brothers. My God. And some of these people are intelligent multimillionaires. All right, you with me? So to depart and be with Christ, what is it? Is it far better? Now, next verse. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So he decided he was going to stay. He could have decided he wanted to go. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. For we know, 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know, everybody say, for we know.
We know.
We don't hope. We don't wish. We don't have our fingers crossed. Right? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, your body is just the tent that your spirit and soul live in. It's just a tent. It ought to be took care of. Jesus took care of his tent, but it's just a tent. Are you with me? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. Where at? A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You got to go to John 14, 1 and 2. You got to go to John 14, 1 and 2. Watch this now. How many of you like the house you're living in? I like ours. I like my house. But I wouldn't call it a mansion. Now, people in other countries would call it a mansion. They call it a palace. And part of the American problem, listen, can I take a few side journeys? 47,000 people were at that game. Now, about 20,000 of them were nasty Philly fans. 47, and James put me on James and Jordan made me sit on the end seat. And as the Lord is my witness, 47,000 people, there were hundreds of people constantly going down to the concession stand, coming up with hot dogs, hamburgers, nachos, and six beers. The beers are $10 a piece. And then, of course, the other thing is now when you buy anything there, they make you put it on a credit card, and then the guy puts that tip thing on you in your face. If you're working in a restaurant, you're bringing me food and you're doing some things I need done, I'll tip you, but I'm not going to tip you for working a counter at the ballpark. The guy said, did you see that tip button? And I got soft, and I hit 15%. I did. I hit 15%. Anyway, the point is, six beers, nachos, hot dogs, hamburgers, it's got to be $150. Plus, our seats were upper deck, and it cost us $90 a piece. So each person in there is out $200 at least at a minimum. Where are they getting their money? Gas in Phoenix is up to $5 a gallon. What are they doing? How are they doing it? How are they surviving? It's a mystery. It can't hold. Something's got to break. All right, that was free. And what'd that have to do with anything? All right, here we go. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Verse 2. Remember, 2 Corinthians said we have a house. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You're not going to go in the ground and just stay asleep. You're going to go depart and be with Jesus, and you're going to stay in a nice house. And there's not going to be any mortgages. Amen. There's not going to be any light bill because the Bible says God's going to light it all. His presence will light it all. And thank God there'll be no more snow and no more freezing temperatures. It'll be a perfect 70 degrees. I don't know how. Anyway, it's just going to be great. Amen. I think I want to read verse 3. I think I want to read verse 3 of there. I think he says something here too. Yeah, this is comforting too. I want to read this. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, oh, somewhere down the line, you'll be up there with me, that where I am, there you may be also. See, you got to study these scriptures. It'll bring comfort to you. Every time the calendar turns and me and Frank turn 65, these are scriptures we need to read. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to stand up on your feet, and I'm going to close with a verse in Hebrews 2:14. I like this series. I hope you got some stuff out of it. All these sermons are online on the website. All the sermons prior to what Teresa posted at the Life in Christ Ministry page are gone because they came through my Facebook page. But they're all on the website at lifeinchristchurch.net. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, listen to this. This is phenomenal. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. He don't have that power anymore. Verse 15. Watch this. This is very, you gotta have some insight. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know what that's saying? You know what that means? Let me interpret that for you. He's saying that because people were afraid of dying, they submitted themselves to fake, false religion in the hopes that that religion would somehow keep them from not going to hell. The Jews thought they would get there through the law. I don't know how Muslims think they're going to get there, but anyway, or Hindus or Buddhist or anybody, see, because people gravitate towards something because sooner or later our lightning fast minds realize one thing, we're going to die. But he set us free. See, he released us from the fear of death because he demonstrated that you don't go to heaven by anything you do. You go to heaven because of what I did. I conquered the devil. I conquered death. And all we have to do is receive that by faith through the grace of God. Can I get an amen? Praise God. You understand why people need to hear this all over Sierra Vista, all over the world, all over the world through the internet, all over our little town in Sierra Vista. So let me say this. Father, we just thank you so much that we as Christian people, we don't have to be afraid of dying. We really don't have to be afraid of anything. Because you're greater than everything. You're greater than everything. There's nothing. Oh, the angel told Mary, nothing shall be impossible for God. No, no. So I'm praying for all the Christians that are listening that, you know, you're getting older or, you know, you start thinking about dying. Don't worry about it. Jesus has prepared a place for you. To depart and be with him is far better. Don't pray for him to take you. Because he said, I don't pray you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Well, he did keep us from the evil one because he destroyed his works. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And if you're listening by radio or internet and you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I know the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you. I know that he has spoken to your heart because I've spoken the oracles of God this morning. I've told you what the Bible says. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. And all you got to do is receive what Jesus did for you, and you don't have to fear death in Jesus' name. So say this with me. Say this, everybody else will say it, but say it if you're home listening by internet. If you're in your car, you can say it. If you listen to it later, say this. Say, Dear God, I recognize that I need Jesus. I recognize that if Jesus doesn't come back, I'm going to die physically. But I know from the scriptures I've heard today that if I receive Jesus, I depart and go be with him, which is far better. So I make the greatest decision I can make by announcing that I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for my sins, that he rose from the dead for my justification, and that he's coming back in Jesus' name. Oh, man, all over the world, people got the opportunity to do that. Father, we give you the glory. Some of you, you prayed that prayer, you're going to notice things are going to change about you. You're not going to sin like you did before. Now, it doesn't mean you won't sin, but it means you don't really want to sin like you did before. You want to, you just have an awareness of God. Somewhere down the line, we'll teach you about the Holy Ghost and have you filled with the mighty Spirit of God. But he's in you now, in your born-again spirit, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.